This morning I'd like to exhort from Revelation chapter 7, so if you have your Bibles, please turn there this morning. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. But let me give you the context for this. Revelation chapter 6 through 11 details God's unleashing of his judgments against the nations. Some see this as imminent, something that's going to happen right now. In the next 2 years or 10 years or 40 years. Some see this as something that happened in AD 70. Some see it as one type of the temporal judgments that God sends upon the nations. So either way, we're not going to go there this morning. I just want to point out one thing from chapter 7. And chapter 6 speaks of the scarcity and the famine, the four horses that are released upon the world. It's widespread death and dying to disease, cosmic disturbances, trees are burning, seas are becoming blood, fresh water becomes bitter. And chapters 8 through 11, got the seven trumpets that are brought out to the world, signaling God's judgments. As the sun and moon and stars cease to shine, stars are exploding, the plague of locust demons are let loose upon the earth. So all of this kind of stuff is happening in God's judgments upon the entire earth. It is something of a temporal judgment that it comes upon the earth, that it comes upon this globe, upon the people that are here. So these are the judgments of God. But right in the middle of chapters 6 through 11, what do we find is chapter 7 is put right smack in the middle of all of these judgments. And so I'd like to read from verse 9 down through verse 12. Chapter 7, Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray for just a moment. Father, we pray you would open this up to us. Please apply these words to our own situation, that your people would be encouraged, strengthened by this word and by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the face of these judgments, here's the big takeaway. Whether or not those judgments are coming upon the earth in the future, whether they'll be there next year, or whether this refers to judgments already come upon the world, what's the major takeaway for us? What we have in chapter 6 and chapters 8 through 11 is what the world is experiencing. It's what the world is seeing happening to them. So while all of this is happening to the world around us, what are we doing here? What are we doing? That's chapter 7. Three things. Number one, we are oblivious to the nations, to the peoples, tribes, and tongues, and the differences that exist there. We're oblivious to that. The world is in conflict. The world experiences its wars, its petty differences, its bitterness, its cultural pride and national pride, and the focus is horizontal. But our focus is on the Lamb on the throne. We are the every tribe and nation gathered together. This is what God's people are doing. They have gathered themselves together as every tribe and nation, experiencing a unity unlike anything on earth. And our focus is not horizontal. Our focus is on the throne, at the Lamb on the throne. Okay, number two. We worship with a loud voice. It's verse 10. We are crying out with a loud voice saying, here it is, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And we do that day and night. One of the reasons I bring this exhortation to you is because I believe that we are in judgment, that God's judgment has come upon the nations. It's happening now. And I believe it's going to get more severe. I don't think it's going to be less severe next year, for example. So we need a spiritual prepper plan. There are a lot of people prepping, you know. Y'all know what prepping is? We need a spiritual prepping plan. So this is what we are doing day and night. Whatever it is, disease or the nuclear bombs fall on Denver or whatever it is, it's negligible. It's nothing to be paying attention to. Amen? Diseases, COVID-19, nothing to be paying attention to. Amen? Amen, nothing. Our focus is on God, and we are worshiping with a loud voice, crying out with a loud voice. It seems to me that something of a focus, it's something of a all-in kind of a thing, right? When we're gathering around the throne of the Lamb of God and we're bringing His praises to Him with a loud voice, it seems to me that we're not diverted, we're not looking at anything else, we're not thinking about ourselves, we're not thinking about the world around us, we're not even thinking about the judgments falling upon the world. We're simply worshiping God with a loud voice. And we do this day and night. All right, so number three, this is the end. We want to know why we're worshiping. That's verse 13. Look at verse 13. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these? Arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to them, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of great tribulation, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Brothers and sisters, the reason we're here is we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And this is why we worship. We are self-conscious of our filthiness. And we know one thing, we are only made white in the blood of the Lamb. We are recipients of the divine power of redemption. We were the ones who were broken by the law but mended by grace. We were the ones, despite all the sin and rebellion and compromises and messiness and hypocrisies that we have experienced in our own lives, we have witnessed firsthand the slow but steady washing of the blood of Jesus Christ in us. And it is the most beautiful thing in the world. We are the ones forgiven by the love of God. Sins forgiven. Remember no more. We have become aware that something glorious has happened to us. Something heavenly has come down to man. It is a new life. It is a new reality. It is a new world such that we are practically oblivious to everything else going on around us, including these judgments of God that are characterized as the sun, moon, and stars falling out of the sky. We're not even noticing it. Why? Because we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. Amen. If there's one thing we have learned in all the sermons and all of our reading of the scriptures is what? We cannot save ourselves. We are so fouled up by our sins.
Amen, brothers and sisters? We are a lost cause. And only God can save us now. And we know that we know that we know that salvation is of our God. With Jonah in the belly of that well, 6,000 feet under the surface, soteriology 101. Salvation is of the Lord. And we have been saved. We have been rescued by the mighty hand of Almighty God reaching down and grabbing us and rescuing us. And we know that we have been saved by the grace of God. And we praise Him.
So in a world of sin, rebellion, and chaos, and judgment, and insanity, everything seems to be turned on its head. What are we doing? All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Let's worship today. Can we do that? Can we block everything else out? I don't know, is Denver being nuked right now? I don't know. Can we just block all that out and just worship today? Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, glory be to our God who is our Savior. You are our salvation. Salvation is of you. Praise be unto the Lamb. We are washed in His blood, and our clothes are made white by the blood of the Lamb. And we have experienced this, and we have seen it in all of our ugliness, and all of our filthiness, in all of our sinfulness, our sinful habits, our sinful mind, our sinful thoughts, our sinful intentions, and all of these things. Jesus, You have saved us. You have washed us with Your blood. You have cleansed us. And we have been under the cleansing fountain of Your blood. And we praise You, Jesus. You are the Lamb on the throne. And it's by Your blood we are cleansed. We confess our sins to You. Indeed, we are those in so much need of more cleansing. We confess our sinful thoughts of bitterness and pride and judgmentalisms and these things that creep up on us. Father, we confess these things. We confess our distractions in worship that we are so often given towards other things, lesser things, much lesser things than the worship of our God. We confess these sins and we ask for this ongoing cleansing and renewal of Your Holy Spirit. This morning, cleanse us by the blood of the Son of Your love. Now we pray. Now we take a moment to confess our own sins.